Let me invite you to get your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew again. And we're going to look at two verses tonight. And if there's any significant reason why we need to be involved in revival meeting, these two verses answer it. Because there's no more plain or powerful verses in all the Bible than these two that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. So if you have your Bible or your outline, let's look at this passage of Scripture. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's not speaking to lost people. Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, I'm wanting you to know this. I'm wanting you to be so involved in the kingdom work so you can realize, and here's why you need to be involved in the kingdom work. Now, sometimes people get offended about the statement about there being a hell. But I have gone through the Gospels, and there is nobody that speaks more on hell than Jesus Christ himself. So let's look at these two verses, and tonight we're going to look at what Jesus has to say on life's two choices. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, let's look at it in the Living Bible, how it says it. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. But the gateway of life to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. When you look at these two verses of Scripture, now there's many of people who would say, I really get offended to think that there is a place called hell. But there's a problem with that. There is something inside of every one of us that we know down deep that there is a place of eternal retribution. God has so programmed us, and in our inner DNA, there is within us that innate awareness that there is a place that a person is going to live who never gives his life, her life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in the very beginning of his ministry, he is pulling the disciples aside and he says, I want to announce to you there are two choices only to life and to eternity. Now, you know and I know that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Jesus in saying that said, all of truth is wrapped up in me. If Jesus is not truth, then we've got a more serious problem than just the validity of a place called hell. You've got the veracity of the Word of God. You've got the veracity of Jesus, the reliability of the testimony of Jesus, if Jesus is not true. But here's the reality. You and I know that he is. There is within sight of every one of us that are born again believers, we know inside of us where we're going. We know inside of us where we're going to spend eternity. It's very interesting when you talk to a person that is without Christ, they too know where they're going. They know exactly where they're going to spend eternity. They don't want to believe in a hell. They don't want to believe in a place of eternal damnation. But if they will be real honest with you, unless they just do away with it in their mind, they really do know down deep. And Jesus in these two verses says a great deal that you and I need to listen to. Because, as I said, every human heart, there is something inside of us that longs for justice. For example, if I had a picture of Mother Teresa and a picture of Adolf Hitler, something inside of you says one is a very good person and one is a very evil person. There is something inside of us that knows that there needs to be justice. There needs to be something for that person who has rebelled against God, rebelled against Jesus, rebelled against his word. And he says there is. And he's saying to his disciples, and you're one of them, and I'm one of them. He says, you need to be very aware of the reality of the two choices of life. Why? Because it is given to you and me to declare the gospel. It is given to you and me to pray for people that you and I know that are lost. You can never push somebody into being saved. You can never manipulate somebody into accepting Christ, but here's what you can do. You can pray for them. You can bow your heart to them. You can ask God's Holy Spirit to convict them, and the Holy Spirit does convict. There's not a soul that's in torment, but what they've been convicted at one point or the other in their spirit by God. Nobody has accidentally died lost and just sort of stumbled over and tripped into hell. But I want you to look in your outline tonight, because you and I do need to be reoriented again, because Jesus himself said there are two and only two choices when it comes to life. Deep in the heart of every man, God has placed the reality of two worlds after this life is over. Inside of people that I talk to that I know that are lost, I will ask them sometimes, and I've had them say, I said, do you know where you're going after you die? Sure, I know where I'm going. Where are you going? And it's amazing. They'll just say, well, don't want to say it. And in talking to little boys and little girls, and I asked them, I said, are you a sinner? The Bible says you're a sinner. I said, where do sinners go? They may not want to say the word H-E-L-L, but here's what they will do. They will point down there. There is inside of you, there is inside of me a reality, and inside of all humanity, there is a heaven and there is a hell. You know, no human being exists but what they've been created by God. Every human being that's been created by God has been programmed by God. Every human being that has been programmed by God has been programmed to know there is a heaven and there is a hell. There's nobody, there's no human being on the face of the earth, but first God made them. You know, sometimes we say, well, what about those people in the furthest region? First of all, how did they get to be a human being? No person can be a human being without God's imprint on their life. And what Jesus is saying to the disciples, what he's saying to every generation, you never need to forget. You never better forget the reality that there are two choices in life. Jesus said it very simply. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and here's what he says. The word enter is a command. In other words, Jesus is saying to his disciples, he says, you enter. In other words, there's a command. There is a call of God to all to come to repentance. And man will either turn to God or man will turn away from God. Sometimes when I would witness to someone and, you know, I'd get my feelings hurt that they rejected me. But nobody is ever really rejecting you. And what Jesus is making clear to the disciples, man will either turn to God or man will turn away from God. And the reality is, it's the role of the Holy Spirit to convict a person of their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's not my responsibility. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be a witness. But Jesus makes it very clear in John, I believe it's chapter 14 and following, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world. Notice what he says, convict the world of sin, of judgment, and righteousness. You remember when you were saved, and some of you just shared that a few moments ago. You didn't get saved just because you wanted to. You got saved because there was that deep, deep moving in your spirit that you was lost. There was that deep moving in your soul that if you died, you would die without Jesus Christ. I never will forget, I was on a school bus when I was a kid. And I was going to school and coming back from school. The Holy Spirit was working on me during that quiet time, because it was pretty quiet, because you dreaded going to school. You just sit there dreading it. You know what I'm talking about. And the Holy Spirit would, if you die the way you are, you'll go to hell. If you die, and you see, we want to say, well, you know, that we just don't like that. But I'm telling you this, there is something far worse than your feelings getting hurt. The Bible says, Jesus makes it very clear that there are two choices in life, and there are only two. Notice Jesus didn't say there's 50, 60, 70, 80. There's only two. And so, sadly, there's so many people who disbelieve Jesus' word, but Jesus just simply states the way it is. And by the way, nothing of Jesus' word has ever been disproved. Matter of fact, it's been proved over and over and over and over again. And, you know, one reality we have to face is this. We live in a fallen world. We live in fallen bodies. We live in broken bodies. We live in deceived bodies. And the words that Jesus commands and gives to each and every soul, he says, is compelling because it's a command. Enter ye at the straight gate. In other words, you have a choice if you respond to Jesus or not. Your friends and your family and your neighbors, they have a choice. You can't make your sons or daughters or brothers or sisters get saved. Sometimes I'll see somebody and they really feel like a failure. And upon further investigation, they'll be so, they just don't know why their family's not come to Christ. Can I tell you one of the reasons why people don't come to Christ? Here's the reason. The Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. One of the sobering realities of the human heart, Jesus says, the Bible says, the heart is wicked above everything else in the universe. It's deceitfully wicked above all things. And you see, Jesus makes it very clear to the disciples. Why is he saying that? Because he's reminding them as they share the gospel has never changed. The gospel will never change. And the reality of it is, it doesn't matter what you may hear. There are two roads, two choices, and there are two worlds after this life is over. It's interesting when you read books like 90 Minutes in Heaven. I think his name is Jerry Piper. And then you read another book, 23 Minutes in Hell by Don Weiss. You can see the totally different worlds that these men talk about. One talks about the wonderful splendor he experienced, and the other talks about he couldn't just put it in human words. Jesus makes it clear, you and I and all mankind have a choice. Why is Jesus telling this to his disciples? Because every person on the face of the earth is going to make a decision. Every person will make a decision. And so Jesus tells his disciples, said, you know, it was theirs to proclaim the gospel. Now listen to me very carefully. Yours is not to save anybody. You can't save anybody, but yours is to have your testimony ready to give an example, to give an answer. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. In other words, a defense of the gospel. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? You should be able to tell them what's happened in your own life. But second of all, Jesus declares that there is a wide gate that leads to destruction. Now, sometimes in our reading of these verses, we read over it so fast just to talk about the location of heaven and hell that we forget that Jesus knows the geography of hell. And he says at the very entrance of hell, watch very carefully. Look at the scripture very carefully. For wide is the gate. Do you know that that is a literal, real gate according to Scripture? The Bible uses a very interesting word in the Greek, and what Jesus literally says, there is a wide folding entrance that literally leads to the place of the damned, that leads to the place of the wicked. And the reality is there are, as I said, some who don't believe in it, but Jesus is speaking about a place that actually is, actually exists, and is actually inhabited even as I speak to you tonight. Now, if Jesus was inaccurate on hell, if Jesus was inaccurate on his description of hell, then we've got something far greater at stake than just the location and the reality of hell. We've got the very word of Jesus at stake. And if you can't believe Jesus, then what can you believe him on anything? Is there a heaven? Is there anything after this life is over? Is anybody going anywhere? Do you and I just not cease to exist? Well, you and I know better than that because the Holy Spirit tells us deep inside that we are the children of God. But what Jesus is saying to the disciples, you know, you and I know that his word is never inaccurate. And Jesus makes it clear. He said, it's a wide gate. Now, here's something very interesting. Jesus, irregardless of time and space and matter, he says, for all peoples, for all times, hell is a wide gate and there's going to be masses that enter into hell. Sometimes we really get bothered that people, You know, we do everything we can. We pray, we witness, we talk, we pray, we witness, we talk. And some people are just going to die damned. That's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said that the masses of people are going to die damned. I didn't say it. And the thing about it is, it's not that they turn away from you and me. It's the fact that the heart is rebellious, and I'll give you some reasons why they do turn away. But, you know, Jesus says it's a wide gate. And according to the very words of Jesus, both heaven and hell are both equipped with gates at the entrance. Because if you look down just a little bit lower, Jesus says it's a narrow gate that leads to everlasting life. Why did he say it was a gate? Why did he even say there was a gate there? Because he knows it. He knows the geography. He knows what hell looks like. He knows because he was with the Father in creating it. You see, hell was never designed. Some people say, well, why is there hell in the first place? You and I know there's a legitimate reason for hell. Hell must exist to satisfy the justice of God. Hell exists because you know Satan. He went against God, and there's no place in the universe except God created a place for Lucifer, for Satan, in a place called hell, and it was prepared for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. But, you know, a person has to really do nothing, but they really do have to do something to die and go to hell. And Jesus is speaking in this verse. He has already said it. He said, the way is broad, and many there be that go in thereat. Jesus, why is it so many are going to be damned and spend eternity in eternal damnation and eternal retribution? It is because of choice. You see, here's the reality. You and I are made as free moral agents, and you and I have choice to do with in life. You know, people can choose to reject Jesus. They can choose to reject God. They can turn away from God. If they want to do it, they can do it. God won't make anybody come to him. You can choose whatever path in life you want to take. If a person wants to choose to be some ungodly man, some ungodly woman, they can choose that. But here's what you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose the consequences of your decisions. Just as in a court of law, for example, tomorrow all over the land there'll be somebody who's been a convicted murderer, and they'll stand before a judge and they'll be sentenced because of what they've done. They can go out and kill. They can do that. They're a free moral agent. That's abomination. It's horrible. It's wicked. But they're not free to choose the consequences. No person is free to choose the consequences of his or her life. And you see, when Jesus speaks of it being wide, Jesus literally made it clear the masses are going. The masses of people are entering in the wide gate. Jesus said the gate is wide, extremely wide. And you know, while the place of hell was not established for humanity, it's amazing the degree of rebellion in the human heart. It's something that you and I will never understand. I still can't comprehend, and I'll never comprehend. Why would mankind turn away from a God who loves them, wants to give them the best in Jesus Christ, wants to give them the best life here and the best life after this life? Why would you trade diamonds for dirt? And yet that's exactly what men are doing because, well, man, this is the life. I speak to some people from time to time, and they're involved in all sorts of stuff. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs. And here's what they'll say, invariably. Well, you know what? I don't want to give up my life. What? But there again, you go back to what Jesus said, the heart is deceitfully wicked. In other words, the heart tricks you. There is something about the heart that tricks mankind. Well, you know, I'm going to have to throw the good things away. Now, let me ask you, and I want you to, how many of you threw good things away to come to Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. You threw something great away, and following Jesus is not worth it. No. You see, here's what the reality is. Now, I've heard some people say, you know what, I thought, but that's the trickery of Satan. But Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and literally he says, He's telling his disciples, it's really a means of backdoor encouragement, don't get bothered when you're rejected. Jesus didn't even have all the people that he ministered to accept him. The majority of people that Jesus talked to rejected him and rejected the gift of eternal life. Do you remember when Jesus got finished with his earthly ministry? He said to the Father, Father, I've completed all that you have sent me to do. Now wait just a minute. Why isn't the whole world saved before Jesus goes back? Why isn't everybody bow their knee to Jesus? Why don't everybody confess Jesus Christ? Because the heart is rebellious and extremely deceitful. What was Jesus saying? His assignment was those disciples. His assignment was the 12 disciples. You and I know that even one of them was a devil. And you see, the reality is, the devil has been, is, and will continue to deceive the masses. There are some people that I honestly look at and they really believe if I come to faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be missing some things. Yeah, you're going to be missing some things. You're going to be missing eternal retribution. Because, and some people would say, well why does a person go to hell for all of eternity for sin? Because you're sinning against an eternally holy God. And the only way you pay for your sin is for all of eternity. So Jesus makes it very clear. He said there's a wide gate that leads to destruction. In other words, Jesus says it's there, believe it or not, but I guarantee you if you and I could walk in and we could see on the corridors of hell before, you and I would see a massively wide gate just as Jesus described. That's exactly what Jesus said. But he said, second of all, he said there's a narrow gate that leads to life. Now, whenever you look at the very words, he says in verse 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads into life. I want to give you a definition of the word narrow because you'll find it very intriguing. Jesus says the gate, the way is, and he talks about those who find it. He said it's a puny, paltry number of humanity that has lived and is living. There will be a puny, paltry number that enter into eternal life. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus, why are you saying that? Because that is fact. Because Satan is roaming the earth. He is deceiving the masses. He is deceiving many. And many are going to choose to listen to him. And you see, Jesus makes it very clear. You know, whenever you think about entering the narrow gate, think about what you had to do to be saved. You had to own up to your sin. Just like what Carl said, how the Holy Spirit started working on him, but didn't immediately work. But there has to be that ownership. Second of all, that self can't save self. And that's one of the biggest problems where some people, well, you know, I think I'm all right. I think I'm a good person. It's amazing how many people are saved in their mind. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven, so I'm not going to worry. Okay, die and see what happens. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, enter you at the straight gate. In other words, he's talking about the narrow way, which is Jesus Christ. And you see, the reality of it is so many people will avoid and reject the spurning, the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You've seen it, and I have too. I've seen people, I guess you'd call it white-knuckling it. In other words, they'll be in a pew, and they say, oh, I've got to hold on to this invitation because I can't give my life to Jesus. Because Satan has a way of painting on the fabric of the mind, you're going to lose something, you're going to miss something, because he will lie, because he's a liar, he's the father of lies, there is no truth in him. And so that's exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples. And he's telling it to you and me, why? Because you need to beware, you need to be on the alert, you need to be sensitive that you share your testimony to some people, they're not going to listen to you, they're not going to want to listen to you, they're not going to want to come to faith in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't give you a reason to stop. Just because, you know, let me give you an example from preaching. Suppose I come to church and the Lord tells me beforehand, Benny, 45% of the people are not going to listen to you, or 65% of the people. I know that's not the case. I know in my situation, it's 100% of the people all of the time, every Sunday night, every week. No. But does that give you a reason to stop? You never have a reason or right to stop. It doesn't matter what the world does. You remember what Jesus said? Be thou faithful until you're 60, right? Be thou faithful unto what? Death. In other words, you have a command and a call by your Father to be faithful to death. Now, while the masses of people believe that they're going to heaven, you know, the truth of Scripture reveals, except a man be born again in John 3:3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's amazing how many people are self-saved. In other words, they believe they're going to be in heaven. They believe they're, I don't kill, I don't steal, I'm a pretty good person, I give once a year to the church. Whether they need my money or not, I give once a year to the church. And I don't even write off that once a year. And it's amazing how many people are self-saved. But Jesus said, unless a man be born again. And, you know, while the broad way is the easy way, here's the reality. Jesus said it's the most costly way. That's something you and I, because here's the reality. You've got a brother, you've got a sister, you've got a husband, you've got a wife at home that they're lost without Jesus Christ. And the reality of it is, you've got to ask yourself, what have I done? What have I said? Have I been a witness to him or to her? Have I borne witness? You see, you can't make them be saved, but here's what you can do. You can bear witness, and God help you if you're not a witness. God help you if you are not a God. And there are some Christians who are not godly witnesses. There are some Christians who are cruel witnesses. I wish I could tell you over the years how many people I've talked to that there had a family member, they had a dad, they had a mom, they had a brother or sister, they literally turned them off, or they had a preacher that turned them off to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling to the disciples, he said, you have a responsibility to be faithful. Now Jesus made it very clear. The narrow gate leads to eternal life. And here's the reality. It's not a life apart from struggles. How many of you, since you got saved, it's just been easy sledding into the kingdom? You don't have a trouble with the devil. You don't have the trouble with co-workers who you may think is the devil. You don't have trouble with people and faith. No, we all do. And here's the reality. Satan can't get you. But he can harass you and give you hell on earth if he possibly can. And that's what he'll try to do. That's what he does. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, you and I have a promise. You know, we like to claim the promises of the Scripture. You know, my God shall supply all your need. We love to claim that promise. Claim this promise. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. That's a promise to you. And Jesus is reminding his disciples, if you're going to be godly, if you're going to walk righteous, if you're going to follow me, then here's a reality. You've got family you'll never see anymore. You've got brothers and sisters and neighbors and relatives you'll never see anymore after eternity. You'll die, you'll end up in heaven, and they'll end up in hell. You say, that's horrible. But here's the reality. Jesus said in a man's home, the enemies would be those that in a man's home. Now, why is Jesus telling the disciples this? Because there are two choices in life. One of the things about our humanity, let me tell you what we don't want to do. We love for people to lie to us. Let me give you an example. They look at you, haven't you lost 30, 40 pounds? You've not lost a pound. Maybe you've gained a pound. But man, you love that compliment. Well, they may not have lied to you. They may not have meant to. But we really, now listen carefully, we really sometimes don't want honesty. Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you the way it is. There is the isness of heaven, the isness of hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell, case closed. And many are going to walk the way of hell. I know personally, I've talked to some, I've witnessed to some, and I thought, what can I do to bring them to faith in Christ? And all of a sudden I find out they've died, and unless something happened, I have an aunt, as best I know, she's in hell tonight. How do I know that? Because she cared little and cared nothing about God, cared nothing about the Word. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. Friend, you don't go to heaven that way. And Jesus makes it clear to the disciples. He said, I want to tell you this up front. The masses are not going to heaven. The masses are not going to be there. Sometimes when we hear about a person that's passed away, said, well, you know, they've gone to a better place. Some cases that's true. Most of the cases that's not true. There's only one type of person that's gone to a better place, and that's the redeemed man or woman of God. Amen? Well, lastly, Jesus declares only a few will find the gateway to eternal life. You know, the call of God for you and me is to bear witness. We're to be witnesses. You're never to be silent about your faith. You're never to let somebody shut you up. Now, I don't mean be obnoxious, but God has commanded you to be able to give an answer of the hope that's within you. It doesn't matter what this world becomes, what this world is. You are commanded by your Father to be able to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Why, Mom, do you believe what you believe? Why, Dad? Why do you believe there's a heaven? Why does these things happen if there's a good God? And you ought to be able to give an answer. And Jesus makes it very clear. He said there's going to be a puny few that enter into eternal life. A lot of people that are in our church buildings are not going to heaven. I am fully convinced of that. How am I fully convinced of that? How can you say you walk with God if you lie, you cheat, you steal, you do this? That's not a sign of a redeemed nature. And Jesus said, by their fruit you shall what? Know them. And so Jesus makes it clear to the disciples, as you go, now remember, the church has not begun yet. Remember, the church has not even started yet. Remember, there is no such thing yet as the New Testament church. That doesn't happen until Matthew chapter 18. But Jesus is saying to the disciples, don't expect the masses to listen to you. Don't expect the masses to turn. Don't expect the masses to repent. I'm telling you this because the heart is wicked, deceitfully wicked. And when you see successes, small successes, when you see a puny few come to faith in Jesus Christ, remember what Jesus said? Don't rejoice. You know, over one person that comes back to the fold or comes to the fold. And you see, sometimes we look at the world that's without Christ, and one person comes to Christ, and we say, that's nice. That's not what we ought to do. There ought to be rejoicing, because that has been one less eternal prisoner of hell. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling you and me, from the beginning of time, watch this, through the end of the ages, not just to this year, folks, to the end of the ages, Jesus is saying to, there will be the masses of people that will find themselves in torment based on the deliberate, intentional, willful turning away from the very grace of God in Jesus Christ. There's going to be the masses in hell. That's what Jesus said. But here's the good news. Since he's given himself to die on the cross, there are also those and the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why you're here. That's why you can. Now, none of us want to die tonight. You know, if I said, how many of you want to go to heaven? One little boy didn't raise his hand in a church service when a preacher said that. And when the little boy was asked, he said, well, I thought he was getting up a trip tonight. Now, we're not getting up a trip tonight, but listen to me real carefully. If you're diagnosed with a terminal disease, if you leave this world tonight, aren't you glad you know where you're going? Amen? Because you're leaving here. I'm leaving here. But Jesus says, even the few that are redeemed, over the time of humanity, that never gives us a right to quit. That never gives us a right not to pray, not to go, not to share, not to love. It never gives us a right, because you remember that night or that day or that moment you were saved. Here's what you know. my eternity is different forever. I remember when I got saved at Hensley's Chapel Baptist Church on Knowtown Road, Middlesbrough, Kentucky. I walked down the aisle, gave my life to Jesus Christ. My dad was the pastor. And a couple of months later, I was baptized. And when I got baptized, that's the outward expression of what you've already done. But when I got saved, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, the sun was brighter. It wasn't that way, actually, but it was that way to me. Because listen to what Jesus says. Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. You rejoice that your name is written. Where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. And friends, church family, the masses are going to torment. That's what Jesus has already said. But your neighbor, your friend, your relative, they may be at the point of being that few. And here's the reality. There's a song we used to sing. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Imagine this. Tonight is your last night on earth. And you realize, and you stand before Jesus, you've never told anybody about him. You say, well, I mean, I was scared. You're not going to say that when you get to Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit will give you the power, will give you the authority, will give you the unction, will give you the boldness. And you say, well, I need somebody to go with me. You've got a whole church family that go with you. All you have to do is just say, I've got a witness to this person. I need somebody to go with me for prayer. But you see, here's the reality, and here's the world we're living in and we're getting more in. There is this some type of realization or thinking in the heart of people that, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Everybody's going to the same place. Nothing is further from God's truth. And Jesus said it'd be better for you to enter into life with not having a limb, to be maimed, than to find that you're in the fires of hell for all of eternity. Who are you bearing witness to that is lost? First of all, who are you praying for? Are you praying for a single soul? Have you given up and you need to restart? Have you just believed that they can't come to the Lord? You need to repent of unbelief, because God honors faithfulness. And you don't know, and you may be like what Brother Carl shared. You may never get to see their salvation. But 25 years from now in another place, they'll say, you know what? That person came into my life, and their name was Sally, or their name was Vicky, or their name was Charlotte. They never saw me get saved, but I owe much of what I am and what I became. Maybe Janrose, maybe Luther and Brendan, whatever your name is. Because you bore witness of the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, how we thank you for telling us the honest, absolute truth. How we thank you for reminding us throughout all of eternity that there are only two choices. Only two. And that is the eternal, unalterable truth. Father, would you imprint and impress upon us who we need to pray for? Who we just need to be serious about, that we love, that we know is lost? And maybe we need to repent because we just have not believed you'll do it. Father, thank you for your word. And now guide us, lead us, and direct us into the fields that are white unto harvest. In Jesus I pray.